who inhabit the higher planets. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, His Compounder Acharya Abhay Charanara Vinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sri Maitreya said, the demigods, the inhabitants of the higher planets, were freed from all fear upon hearing the cause of the darkness explained by Brahma, who was born from Vishnu. Thus they all returned to their respective planets. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The demigods who are denizens of higher planets are also very much afraid of incidents such as the universe becoming dark. And so they consulted Brahma. This incident indicates that the quality of fear exists for every living entity in the material world. The four principal activities of material existence are eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. The fear element exists also in the demigods. On every planet, even in the higher planetary systems, including the moon and the sun, as well as on this earth, the same principles of animal life exist. Otherwise, why are the demigods also afraid of the darkness? The difference between the demigods and ordinary human beings is that the demigods approach authority, whereas the inhabitants of this earth defy authority. If people would only approach the authority, then every adverse condition in this universe could be rectified. Arjuna was also disturbed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but he approached the authority, Krishna, and his problem was solved. The conclusive instruction of this incident is that we may be disturbed by some material condition, but if we approach the authority who can actually explain the matter, then our problem is solved. The demigods approached Brahma for the meaning of the disturbance, and after hearing from him, they were satisfied and returned home peacefully. Om Agnati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapita Mena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dalati Svaha Padantikam Te Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Titanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Hare Krishna. So, dear devotees, this beautiful purport of Srila Prabhupada indicates some two important points. There is a problem and there is a solution. So, the problem is fear. And the solution is following proper authority. So this is the class in a nutshell. Now we're going to look at it a little more in a detailed way. So the context is the following. The demigods experience the darkness upon the arrival of Jaya Vijaya in this world, in the womb of Diti. So the world becomes dark. So it's very ominous. And the demigods become afraid. They realize something is happening here. Inauspicious. Just like when there is a sun eclipse, it's considered inauspicious. So similarly, when the influence of the sun was dimmed by the descending of Jaya Vijaya, the world becoming dark, the demigods felt fearful. So Prabhupada takes the bull for the horns immediately. And in the purport, immediately he points that the denizens of the higher planets are also very much afraid of incidents such as the universe becoming dark, and so they consulted Brahma. So Prabhupada immediately goes to the heart of the problem, fear. So if we examine the species, every species is experiencing fear. From the ants to the demigods, we can see. The ants, they don't have eyes. They cannot see the enemy, but they can sense. They have some sensory system. They can smell also. And they can detect danger, and they can try to run away. You see how ants are running when they detect someone is coming. So from the smallest entities to the topmost entities, there is fear. Now, where is this fear coming from? Is it normal to be fearful? Some people will say it's completely normal because we're living in a dangerous place. We see constantly some horrible thing happening to someone. So we develop this sense of fear that to watch behind my back. If you've seen birds when they go to drink from the river, you've seen birds, what they do? They put their beak inside, they take little water, immediately they look around to see whether within these few seconds they were not looking behind, someone came. You've seen this? It's again and again. So if they dip their beak 5 times, every time they pull out the beak with the water, they will look around. They will drink it, then they will put again. You know, it's a natural tendency. So we the humans are also like that. Because there is so much crime in this world, so much cheating, so much abuse, so much mistrust. So from experience we develop fearfulness. And even the demigods. Why? Because they also had experience of the same things. So the question is why this world is like that. So again, I'll bring a point from the previous classes. Some people will argue and they will say, if God created this world, He should have created it perfect. So this world is imperfect. There is fear, there is violence, there is abuse. So God is made a mistake. Therefore God is imperfect. But because God is imperfect, according to this conception, then they conclude there is no God. You see. Because there cannot be an imperfect God. So why is this happening? Why the world is dualistic? Why can't we just have happiness? Why didn't God create the world just nice and happy to have party all the time? He's a cruel guy, God. So a lot of people, they're totally anti-God because they say, look, so much suffering in this world. Where is your God? They point a finger like that. So this is one of the strongest arguments of the atheists. So this dualistic nature of this world produces the fear, and the dualistic nature, because we say there is a God, or the theists, the spiritualists, then immediately they challenge us that if there is a God, why dualistic nature? So the answer is given in the Vedas. In fact, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that from the topmost planet to the lowest in this world, it's all places of misery. He doesn't even consider the happiness to be something. He packages it all, it's all misery. So here God himself is saying this world is misery. And he created it. Why he did it? Because we wanted to be separate from him. And to be separate from him, we have to forget him, and therefore we have to be given a space where he doesn't really exist, he cannot be seen, he can be forgotten, so on and so forth. So then someone might have said, but he could have created a nice world for us, where there is no war, no diseases, no old age, no death. I could have lived eternally without him in this body. Why did he force such a conditions on us? If you look at the material world, if a father, if the son wants to leave the father's house, the father may even buy him a house. You go ahead, you know, have fun, live somewhere, you know, go get married, have a family. The father is happy, the son is going. But now it looks like Krishna is jealous, envious that we are coming down. Why can't we have our own house? Why does he want to force us back to the spiritual world? Have you ever thought about it? If you haven't, that means you're not thinking deeply of this philosophy. And Maya can catch you. Maya is very tricky. So, we gotta understand this point. Why Krishna created the world in such a way? So, first and foremost, let us examine the reason why we wanted to be separate from God. We wanted to be separate from God because we wanted to experience what it is to be God. Because He is separate from everything. He is independent. Okay? Are you keeping that in mind? We wanted to experience what it is to be separate from God. Like He is Swarat, independent. We wanted to experience to be independent from Him. The only way you can do it is you have to go somewhere else where He's not present. Apparently not present. So, this is called Matsarya, envy. And we, motivated by this desire or this envy, Krishna now has to fulfill our desire. And to fulfill it, He has to also do something further. What is that? To be an independent person, you have to do things and you have to enjoy the result. That means to be independent. Do you agree with me? Independent person means he is a doer and he is an enjoyer of his activities. Like for example, someone may be a self-employed person. He does something and he enjoys his own fruits. He doesn't work for a boss. Right? Do you understand? Self-employed. So we are all self-employed in this world. We want it to be self-employed. Right? So I don't want to work for a boss. I want to do something and I want to enjoy the fruit. I don't want to do something and he will take all the enjoyment and I'll get a little bit of it. I want everything for myself. I want to be the boss. Okay? So in this way, we now have been served something called karma. Someone will say, why did Krishna create karma? He is cruel. You know, if Krishna didn't create karma, then we would have been happy. So that is superficial thinking. Because when you examine again why karma is there, it's because we wanted to be independent. Do you get it? That's why karma is there. You want. It's not that Krishna wants. Oh, I'm going to create karma to torture these rascals. No. You want to be independent. So what does it mean to be independent? I want to do something and I want to enjoy the result. Oh, you want to enjoy the result? Okay, I'll create a system. We'll call it karma. You sow the seed in the ground. Then the fruit comes and you enjoy the fruit. You are the doer and the enjoyer. You want karma? Okay, here is karma. So why do you blame Krishna that there is karma? Some people say there is no karma. But because they're in the darkest of ignorance, they think there is no karma. They just say it because they want to be irresponsible. They want to make their own laws of what is right and wrong, you see. So they say, I shouldn't follow these religious dogmas and limitations. There is no such thing as karma, you know. There is no one to judge. So I can make my own right and wrong. I can create my own set of moral rules and I'll follow this. I don't have to obey anybody, any religious scripture, or I don't even have to obey matter. I can force matter to change. That's what modern science is. Yeah? It's a war against the material energy. We're gonna force it to surrender like a wild horse. You know, when you get a wild horse, you have to hold on to it until it gets peaceful and it becomes controlled by you. So the scientists or atheists, they think we're horsemen that is trying to tame this wild horse of the material energy. That's the whole progress of material civilization, trying to control matter. So, they say there is no karma, but still, you see that they're doing activity, and they expect the result. So, if some person tells you, sir, there is no karma, you can tell him, oh, there is no karma, then don't go to work. Sit at home and wait for some money to come. He'll defeat himself immediately. You see? Why can't you just do it? If you believe there is no karma, then sit at home. Don't get involved in action. Just be a boss. Enjoy. Have fun. Don't worry about working. Be a liberated man. All the money will come to you without you doing anything. Prabhupada said even the lion has to chase. The king of the jungle, he has to chase his food. He doesn't just lie in the forest with open mouth. And then the deer comes inside, you know, or the rabbit or something. So, the atheistic people, they have no conception of reality. They talk incoherently. There's no logic to what they say. And then, those who are atheists, they sometimes do not understand why karma is there. They think Krishna has created it because that's how he wants to do it, you know. And that makes him cruel. Because karma means you're going to suffer. If you get involved in this, you're going to suffer. And then he created it, then he has to be responsible. So this is called sentimental understanding of the philosophy. But the fact is that Krishna created it because we are fools and rascals. And he wants us to experience this independence which we demand from him. And to do so, he has to create karma for us. Now, someone may say, but he is God. He could have just not created it like that. He could have just created that I may do any damn thing and I'll enjoy. If he is God, he could have done that. Huh? Right? Are you thinking? Or are you awake? He could have created it, someone may say. He could have done any damn thing. I mean, I can do any damn thing and I shouldn't get a reaction. In fact, some people think like this. You know, like the atheists. They think I can do whatever I want. I won't get any reaction. So, but Krishna created it like that because, again, we wanted to enjoy the fruit of our activity. So if you do something evil, then you have to experience the fruit. You understand? If you do something good, then you have good, then you have to experience the good. That's why he created it like that. And also, he created it like this. He didn't want to force things artificially, that you're doing something, you know, abusive, and then you only enjoy and there is no reaction. Because that is completely unnatural. If you're doing something abusive to someone, then he will suffer. Where is the suffering coming from? You know. You understand? Where is it? Shouldn't have been any suffering. So you cannot do any abusive thing, but you cannot not do any abusive thing because you already have an abusive mentality by coming down to this world. You're trying to become the owner of something that doesn't belong to you. So that's already abusive mentality. So you cannot not have it. You will have it. You see, it's only natural. So I was thinking a few days ago how we actually came to this world to have a temporary hookup with Maya. That's all. We came to have a temporary hookup with Maya. And Maya, who is Maya? Is Radharani. Huh? So this is why we're here. Oh, rascals. This is what we are. Temporary hookup means I'll just go and enjoy for a while, you know, because you can't enjoy eternally. I'll try to see what Krishna is experiencing. So, in this way, karma exists. It is there for you because you want it. And the only way you can get out of it, you can get around karma, you gotta follow the authority, Prabhupada is saying. Because the suffering in this world, the karma and all these things that we're experiencing, they are helping us to remember that this is not normal. It is not normal for us to suffer. So when the suffering is there, immediately you think, this shouldn't be there. Because you are Satchitananda Vigraha by nature. So you should not be suffering. But why are you suffering now? Because you have come into a natural environment. It's just like Prabhupada gives the example. If you throw a man in the middle of the ocean, will he be happy? He cannot be happy. So, but him realizing he's in the middle of the ocean, he will scream for help. He'll want to get out. You see. But if you are so foolish, you think when you put your head out of the water, you take some breath, you think, I'm so happy. You know. And then you lose your power and you go under the water and again, you start to drown, you know, you scream, oh, what is this, you know, let me get out. You go up to the surface, you take, oh, I'm happy, you know, and then again. So this is the material world. And if you don't understand this, you will carry on birth after birth. It doesn't mean that you have become devotee, you will stay devotee. And even if you stay, it doesn't mean you will go back to Godhead in this life. If you don't want it. Because there is a lot of devotees who don't want it. They just want to suffer peacefully in the material world. I'll become a devotee so I can suffer peacefully. But Krishna, to love Krishna and fully surrender to Him, oh, that's a bit too much for me. You know. So in the neophyte stage, we think like that. It's Prakrita Bhakta. So we should not stay on that level of Prakrita Bhakta because it's dangerous. Maya can come and pull you away again to explore the flavors that she can offer. She can come, she can say, come sir, I've got something better for you, you know. You're too bored in ISKCON, you know. I've got so many flavors for you to experience. Nice, beautiful things. What are you doing in this temple? Every day you're just chanting, you're falling asleep in japa, struggling. You're eating the same rice and dal every day. You know, just come, be free, go and do what you want. You know, Maya can speak like that. And then you see the devotees, yeah, maybe I should just try. I'm not happy anyways. I'll just go and try to find my happiness outside there. But why we are not happy is because we are holding on to the false ego. If the false ego is not satisfied, you're not happy. You see. If you see you're not happy, you're a servant of your ahankara, that's all. False ego. You see. And you can have a good, positive stand on it. Okay, I'm servant of my false ego, but I'm going to try to become servant of Krishna. That is how devotee thinks. I'm going to try. I'm not going to give up. Even if I'm not happy, it's fine. I'm going to just keep pushing forward. I'm not going to give up. This fight, I'm not giving it up. This life, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to try to do it all the way back home, back to Godhead. You see? I'm not going to give up. It's just like you've seen a bulldog, if you give it a rubber tire or something like this, when they catch, can never take it out of him. You know, you pull, but he just, you'll never get. So you have to become like this bulldog. You should never give up, you know. You just try to get the tire out of a bulldog. You'll never be able to get it. You won't, unless he wants to let go. So don't let go. Now, when we fall into this world of duality, because we want it, immediately there is fear. Because the fear is about protecting what we have, the illusory, temporary things that we have. We have to protect them. And there is so many people envious other people who will try to take what you have if you're not careful. There is so many crooks and thieves, and even not just ordinary, simple robbers going around robbing people. No. Nowadays, we got crooks on a high level that basically take over the whole country or the whole world, the whole continent. We have such big crooks nowadays. Huh? So, you give them a few peanuts to work for someone, and you think you are very advanced. You know. Actually, we are like a slave in the material energy. If one day in the history books, they will say, people thought they live in democracy, but they were slaves. It will be written in the history books. Voluntary slaves. They tricked them so badly, they became voluntary slaves. You know, to the economic system that is today. So, in the past, the people were much more independent, in a sense, from negativity. They were more dependent on spirituality. They were more dependent on Dharma. Now we are independent from Dharma and we depend on Maya. And Maya means being cheated and exploited for nothing. And again, birth and after birth, you have to come into this material world. So one day it will be written like that these guys were slaves. They worked for practically just to survive. That's what slave is. He works to survive. To pay his rent, to pay his food, to pay his few expenses that he has, pocket money, whatever he needs. He can put maybe some small savings on the side. But he cannot do anything more than that. So this is slavery. Very subtle. So fear is there because we live in this dualistic world and the fear comes from the false ego that this is mine. I read yesterday one quote by Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, when everyone claims proprietorship over something, immediately he is fearful and immediately there is a foundation for war. Whether it's individual or collective or national. When you claim something is yours, immediately there is false proprietorship, and when someone else wants to take what you have, immediately conflict and war. So we can see it again and again and again is what happening in the world. One war stops, a few months later another one will start. And then one person is cheated, then another one later on, and it goes on. It just goes on. It can never be a peaceful place because we have, all of us, this tendency of being envious and selfish. So spiritual solution is the only solution. Prabhupada said, we are spiritual communists. What does this mean, spiritual communism? It means that everything belongs to God. And I take as much as I need, and the rest I don't need it. It is for the use of other people according to their needs. Everyone will have plenty, so much. Because how much do you need really? Prabhupada said a rich man needs 2 slices of bread for breakfast. And the poor man is the same. So why does he have $50 billion? Bill Gates, apparently, if you put all his money one on top of each other, it will be a few kilometers in the sky. Why do you need so much? You see. So, you know, and the wealth today in the world is kept by 1 or 2% of the 1% of the world population has 90% of the wealth. And then the another percent is maybe having, you know, whatever is left. And then, you know, there is another group of people that are hardly surviving. So this is because of the influence of the illusory energy, and because we have diverted ourselves from following Shastra, scripture, immediately there is fear. So Prabhupada explains, even the demigods, they are fearful because they have material desires. Yeah. One time I was in the car with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj going somewhere. I think we were going to dentist. He had some problem with his tooth. And one devotee was driving the car, senior devotee. And I was sitting at the back, I was serving Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And this senior devotee asked, Maharaj, why did this guru fall down? It was Harikesh Swami. Why Harikesh Swami fell down? Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, because he had a demigod consciousness. Devotee, very powerful. They were distributing millions of books at that time. But he had the tendency, the desire for prestige, profit and adoration to some degree. That's what Maharaj said. He had a demigod mentality. So we are devotees, but you can also have demigod mentality. And that will keep you bound in this material world. The goal of bhakti is not to become a demigod. Is to become a pure servant of the Lord who joyfully serves the Lord at any moment with tears in his eyes of ecstasy. That is our objective. So then you will be above fear because you got nothing to lose. Nothing belongs to you. Everything is Krishna's. If he wants to take something, he can take it. If he wants to give me something, he can give me. This is the philosophy. Prabhupada explained many times. Rakhi Krishna Marike, Mare Krishna Rakike. If Krishna wants to protect you, no one can kill you. If someone wants to kill you, but Krishna can protect, he wants to protect you, he cannot. And the opposite is there. If someone wants to protect you or you want to protect yourself, if Krishna wants to take something from you, he will take it. So we have to understand, we are not the master, we are the servant. This is our biggest problem in the world. False ego means I am master, I am enjoyer. Prabhupada gave many times the example of the man with the dog. Right? The dog is pulling him like this and he thinks I am the master, the man. when we were going to the beach two days back on Sunday. Sunday, was it Sunday or Saturday? Saturday. We traveled by car, and in front of us there was an open window of the other car, and then one dog pulled his head out and he was looking like that, you know. And I was thinking, look at the master, you know, and the servant is driving inside, you know. And he thinks I am master. You know. This dog is mine, he's thinking. So this is why we are suffering in this material world, because we maintain this desire for independence from God. And there is fear. Because of that, there is fear. The moment you say, this is mine, immediately you have fear. One devotee asked me, the same Harinam finished, he approached me, he said, Prabhu, please bless me to become free of fear. I said to him, if you become pure devotee of Krishna, then no fear will be there. He fell on his knees. Please, please bless me. I said, the only way we can become free of fear is to become pure devotee of the Lord. It's not some artificial blessing. Sarva dharma parityajya mamekam saranam braja. Aham tvam sarve papibyo moksha shami masuchaha. Give up all variety of nonsense. And simply surrender unto Krishna. And in this age, the topmost surrender is keep chanting Anukirtanam constantly. Whatever you're doing. Going to work, chant. Even while, you know, doing whatever duties with your hands, you're doing something inside, keep chanting. Develop this taste for the holy name, Anukirtana. The more we chant the holy name, the more we will win Krishna's mercy upon ourselves. And, you know, we may think, I've done 16 rounds, I shouldn't chant anymore. No, you keep chanting. Because that will soften Krishna's heart towards you, and He will give you more mercy to make more advancement, faster. So, few points, final points on authority, you know. So how do we get rid of this fear? We've got a system. You've got to accept the spiritual master. And you have to surrender unto the spiritual master. This is not just some sentimental philosophy, you know. A lot of people, and the spiritual master must be bona fide. Bona fide means he is accepted, his guru, who is also a bona fide representative. And a bona fide guru has a specific characteristics. They are all described in the Guru Vastakam, the morning prayer. And the Guru Puja song also. It's also, if you study it very carefully, it's still on the wall, by the way. You can actually get some of the characteristics of the spiritual master. Spiritual master never engages in sinful activities. You see. And this is one of the things. Second thing, he's always engaged in the service. He doesn't sleep to serve the Lord. He just sleeps a little bit to keep the body and soul together. Like Prabhupada slept 3-4 hours a day. Bhaktirtha Maharaj, 4 hours. There is a story, 3 days he didn't sleep. Bir Krishna Maharaj told us. You ask him. They were staying in the same room, somewhere in the United States. I think in the Institute House. And so, after the program at night, they went to the room, two of them. And then Bir Krishna Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had arranged his own bed for him. The Institute Houses, he started that preaching in Washington DC. So he offered to his godbrother his own bed, and then he slept, he prepared for himself a mat on the floor, yeah, like a yoga mat or something. So Bir Krishna Maharaj said he was very tired, he went to rest. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj went on his desk to write. He said, I woke up 3 o'clock or 3 something, he was still there on the desk. The way I left him. And then they went to take bath, both of them, to go for Mangalarti. And then he said he took bath first, Bir Krishna Maharaj, and then he came back to the room, and Bhaktirtha Maharaj went after that. So when he came back, Bir Krishna Maharaj folded Bhaktirtha Maharaj's bed, which was a mat on the floor. He folded it for him to do some seva, keep it away. So when Bhaktirtha Maharaj came, he saw that. And the next day, again, he never slept the whole day. Then again, the time came. Maharaj went to sleep, Bir Krishna Maharaj. Bhaktirtha Maharaj went to his desk. Again, he woke up in the morning. He was still there. 3 days in a row like that, he saw. But the second day, what happened when he went to the shower, Bir Krishna Maharaj, when he came back, he saw Bhaktirtha Maharaj had folded his mat not to allow him to serve him. Because he always saw himself as the servant of others. So this is the consciousness of pure devotee. 3 days, Maharaj said, I never saw him sleeping. You see. Thank you, Maharaj. They actually always giving me on the left hand side, you're not seeing, but it's okay. I appreciate your kindness. Here is another one. That's okay. It's good. Two is better than one. To me is Gaur Nitai. Haribo, Shri Gaur Nitai ki! So, Prabhupada was also like that. Completely intense. On the level of bhav, the devotee does not waste any moment. He wants to, especially in this world, preach Krishna consciousness. He doesn't want to waste a second. He wants to give Krishna to as many people as possible. Because we're going to be only short time in this world. So we should do as much damage to Maya as possible. We're warriors. So the warrior is on the battlefield and he has to get as many souls back to Godhead as possible. He's got no time to sleep. You know. What to speak of eating? Bhaktirtha Maharaj ate once a day only, lunchtime, a little bit. And when he was eating, he always asked us to read for him, Shastra. One devotee will always sit and read for him, and one will just give him the prasadam. And he will just listen very carefully what the other devotee is reading. And then after, he will ask us questions. So what did you understand from what you read? So we have to follow authority. Don't think Guru is some ordinary man that is just hungry for power and position or something like that. A lot of atheists, they propagate, everyone is Guru. Why should I accept a Guru? I don't need a Guru. I am Guru myself. These all rascals, you know. Cheaters. Because how can you be Guru if I look at your life is in a full mess? You know. And you think you're Guru. Huh? His wife left him with some other man with the kids. He thinks he's Guru. You know? So many foolish people are there. And cheating others that there is no need for Guru. There is the example, even if you do sports, if you do tennis or something, you know, you need a Guru. One tennis player, he was telling us how rigid system he followed to win. He won actually some championship. His guru practically told him, you don't meet with these people. Because there were some people he was associating, they drink, clubbing and all that. That trainer, coach, tennis coach told him, no way, you don't meet these people. You're not going out with them. This is your diet. That's what you should eat. This is your exercise. And the coach is going there with him step by step through this process. And then at the end, that guy wins. No sex for a certain period of time. Otherwise, you cannot win. Bhaktirtha Maharaj told us, Muhammad Ali, His trainer told him, I don't know, 1 month before a match, no sex, completely abstain from it. So they're ready to follow someone to get something material, but they are not ready to follow someone to get Krishna. So that means cheaters. If the system of learning something from someone is there within the material world, why it shouldn't be there in the spiritual dimension? Why it should be free for all and do whatever you want? You know. So if it was free for all, then where is the result? If that was the thing, where is the result? Where are the liberated souls? Where are the great pure devotees who are just becoming pure just like that by accident? Huh? Show me one. He's all rascals and cheaters. That's all. So we have to accept an authority, a spiritual master. We shouldn't treat him as an ordinary human being. He's a devotee of the Lord. He's a pure devotee. He may not be like Prabhupada, but because he's serving Prabhupada, he's perfect. Without fail, year after year. We may not have this qualification, but because we are serving Prabhupada's mission, you take shelter of someone who has more experience on the battlefield, and you make advancement. It is very rare that someone takes birth and is more advanced than his guru. Mostly, it is very rare. Mostly, we are progressing because we take initiation, we take shelter of guru. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was more advanced than his guru, but that's like one in billion, you know. And he still accepted guru, although he was more advanced, to show the example. So the only way we can become free of fear, the only way we can cut that envy from the heart, that desire to be independent, that binds us in reincarnation, birth after birth, is to take shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. And He will give us the holy name, and He will guide us forward. And He will actually, He will speak on our behalf. Before Prabhupada, before Lord Chaitanya, he'll say, this rascal was trying. Please give him mercy. And because of that spiritual master, you will be liberated. Not because of your great sadhana or something like that. Because of your humble service to the guru, you won his heart. So much affection he has that he says, my Lord, he really tried. He's not so good, he did many mistakes, but he tried, he never gave up. Please, please, my dear Lord, please give him a chance. Please liberate this soul. Please give him entrance into the spiritual world. So because of the loud crying, because of the affection of your spiritual master for you, you will be allowed to be released. So Guru is not an ordinary person. And Prabhupada very clearly says, the conclusive instruction of this incident that we may be disturbed by some material condition, but if we approach the authority who can actually explain the matter, then our problem is solved. The demigods approached Brahma for the meaning of the disturbance, and after hearing from him, they were satisfied and returned home peacefully. So we have to accept an authority. Bona fide authority. And we have to follow properly. And then we can expect to get the result of becoming purified and becoming really, really blissful even while we're in this body. You know. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki? Nanti Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki? Gaur Premanande. There are a few minutes for questions or comments. Please, you can open up. Prabhuji, please.
Just a comment.
Yes?
When my sister-in-law, one of my sister's left body, this last year on December, a few days before, she was always sick because they said the end came to my sister, and she would say, why is she a good day? Because the mom was from Maharaji.
Who?
My sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was in bed, she had cancer.
So he came to receive her.
And she's not only once, he said it a few times. And the day she left the body, it was winter, it was cold, it was snowing, but the sun would come out and it would rain. And it was so bright when she left the body. The cold room was there.
Yeah.
So, yes, as you said, you know, these people, these devotees who came to actually receive us, they sacrificed so much for us.
Yes.
Surrender a little bit to them, you know. They can do so much.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate to be.
Most fortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Understand.
Yeah. So don't take this process cheaply. Don't take this temple cheaply. Don't take these books cheaply. This is extraordinary. And the more you take shelter of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, the more you will appreciate the value. You see? Yes?
We have seen instances where some pure devotees also suffering from physical illness or something. So what would be the cause?
They are not suffering. You think they are suffering. A pure devotee never suffers. He may experience the suffering on the body, but internally he is in total bliss. He doesn't experience the suffering the way a conditioned soul is experiencing. Because they are not attached to the material world. Suffering arises from attachment to the body and to the world. They are not attached to this body. Therefore, they are not experiencing the pain of this body in the same way. And it may look like they are suffering, but actually they are completely transcendentally situated in total ecstasy. And Krishna is using them to show us that His devotees are so pure that even if they apparently go through so much calamity and misery even, they will never give up on Him. They want to teach you that this is the reality. Krishna is God, no matter what, they won't give up. Because some person might have said, I'm suffering now, this happened, that happened, I'll just give up Krishna, you know. But the devotees will not do that. Some people say, how do you know Krishna is God? You know, they challenge me like this. I say to them that, at least you accept that there is a God, right? They say, yes. Then I say, then who is God? Then they'll say, God is some power or some, you know, light or something like that. Then I say to them that if there is a God, then He should be able to communicate. You see. And He should be able to come and go and do what He wants. So, who is your God that comes and does what you want, whenever you want? They cannot point. Then I say, therefore you have to accept Krishna because He is doing that. He comes and goes and He does so many different things. Huh? Who is your God? If God is some light, but then He cannot come down, you know. Or if He comes down, He's just like you, then what's the use of God if you are like Him? And, you know, what kind of power do you have if, you know, God is like you? You got no power. That means God is useless. In that perspective. Like Kadambakana Maharaj saw one man and he said, I am God. And Kadambakana Maharaj, I looked the whole life for you. Now I saw you. And he said, they were sitting on one bench in a park. He said, look, the sun is too strong. Can you just make these trees a little bit higher than what they are to block the sun so we can have some shade? He said, I cannot do that. He said, but you said you God. He said, what makes you think that God can do that? You see? What kind of foolish gods are these, you know? He is God. And then He cannot even do something basic like extending a little bit the trees. God means one who is completely independent to manipulate everything as he wants, because there is no physical or metaphysical laws that control him. He is Swarat. They don't understand what is God. And they think God is a dead stone. If the absolute truth was a dead stone, then everything that emanated from that dead stone would have been a dead stone. But we are not a dead stone. So that means the absolute truth must be a person. That's how we understand it. So we should not take this process cheap. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prior ages people worship Vishnu, that's fine, Narayan, it's still an aspect of the Lord, but we've given the highest, we've been given the highest by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, you know, we shouldn't miss this opportunity. We might have made mistakes, we may be slow, or this or that, it doesn't matter. Just hold on to Prabhupada's lotus feet, that's all. By following his representatives. You see? And then they will take care of us. And we shouldn't do this simply from fear. Fear is fine. Fear of Maya is okay. Initially, I will follow this because I am afraid from Maya. I don't want to reincarnate. But the motivation should be out of love. Gradually to develop love for the Guru and for Prabhupada. It's not that we surrender to them to negate the suffering of Maya, of the material world. We will surrender out of love. Oh, my Guru is so wonderful. I want to serve him. My Prabhupada is so wonderful. I want to commit to his mission. Out of love. That is the higher level. So we have to come to that level. This is called Raganuga Bhakti. Ecstatic love. Spontaneous ecstatic love. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nanti Gauri Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Nitai Gaur Premanande.